Good morning, 641 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, we have candidate for United States Congressional District 1 in Florida, Republican Aaron Dimmock, retired commander from the United States Navy. Aaron, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew, and thanks so much for having me, my friend. Great to be with you.
Absolutely. Now, for the folks who are here locally, they're going to care about this. You were a Poseidon pilot, the P-8. And you worked out of Patrol Squadron 10 for a while out of Jacksonville and, you know, had a, you know, fairly lengthy tour, you know, flying missions all over the world, right?
I did, yes. And it was just tremendous for the P-3C Orion, and then the P-8 Poseidon ended up replacing that aircraft, and just a phenomenal community to be a part of.
Well, I wanted to, obviously, we're going to talk about, you know, your candidacy and all, and I just wanted to give you the 30-second, like, why do you want to be a congressman?
Yeah, and it's a great question. I love answering it. First, I answered the call to serve our military, as you alluded to, for 12 or 20 years deploying all around the world, and would be honored with the opportunity to continue to serve. And I also ran because our current congressman is actually an embarrassment to our district and our Republican Party. And I think our constituents, our citizens, our voters in our magnificent first district deserve better.
What do you think? And this is kind of where, you know, I want to go with the interview, is sort of a candidate interview, but also sort of a, if you were the congressman, this is kind of how I would interview you. But first thing is, you know, you want to take over the responsibility for representing a heavy military district. I know you've got a military background, but what do you think you can do for the military mission in Northwest Florida?
Yeah, I think there are two fronts that can be helped. First and foremost, the veteran services and constituent services in our district are part of an element in that has happened over the last several years where, and this is where folks that have come up to us and supported our campaign as they've reached out, they don't feel heard. And they call the Gates office often, and the Gates office ignores them. And so they don't believe that they're heard. They don't believe they're taken care of from a veteran service standpoint, veterans affairs standpoint. So that's a tremendous opportunity to be able to support specifically our veterans, but it's non-veterans that have reached out as well. So just constituent services across the board, to be able to create and fully staff a constituent services team, to be able to better take care of our constituents, our citizens, our voters, would be tremendous. That's one part. Another part is from the resource standpoint with our bases, Eglin, Hurlburt, Whiting, and Pensacola. The infrastructure specifically is decrepit. It's aged, continued to kick the can, and there's been minimal support by Congress, our current congressman, for being able to get and garner those resources into our bases. While he'll take credit for things that have come in at a slow pace over the years, it's actually happened despite his efforts and his team's efforts, not because of them. It's really been the individual services that have been able to get the budget down here and do the minimum. But we need to replace hangars. We need to recapitalize buildings because of the 60,000 service members that our district supports on a regular basis for their training, their practice, to be able to do the nation's bidding, that they need that continued support, and they're really struggling right now. So those are two primary areas I think that could immediately improve.
How do you think that you would be able to pitch repair, especially after a storm? I mean, I know Pensacola took $400 to $500 million worth of damage from Sally. How do you think you'd be able to pitch the value of repair versus move to the Navy?
Oh, the value of repair, I tell you, it's one, our district is so good at supporting military, just across the board. And when I say military, I'm not just including the active duty reserve service members, but also their families, the civilians that work and support the team, the contractors that support the team. So just living in our district, and one of the reasons my family and I just love living here is that fact. So there's the intangible component of just being a military community. And then there's also the fact that there's an economic engine driving portion here. Over $8 billion in economy actually come into our district because of not just the military, but the events that are ongoing, the visitation, the folks that will come into our district and they want to see the bases, they want to see the people and meet the people. And so there are components there that to retain that would be tremendous and necessary. I mean, the history, the deep and rich history and tradition of our military with our district community is just something that really can't be replaced. And so the investment is not just in the service member, in the training to be able to do the nation's bidding and provide for safety, security, and defense of our nation constantly, but also the mere fact that the people, the local community need to be supported. And you take that away, you take away the lifeblood of our district.
We're talking with Aaron Dimmick. He is a retired commander in the United States Navy, and he is a candidate for District 1 Congress. Aaron, you know, we're all on pins and needles watching what's happening in the Middle East. We've got this concern that Iran is about to launch a series of attacks against Israel within the next 24 to 48 hours. Your thoughts?
Yes. I mean, our U.S. interests abroad are funnel through Israel, and to be able to support them, continue to support them is just something we should continue to do without hesitation. We have to de-escalate that threat, and it's a constant thing. I mean, since October 7th and the atrocities on that day, like, this is what's sparked responses at various levels. So being on alert and being willing to help without hesitation, Israel, one of the only elements in the Middle East that helps us maintain some sense of stability out there, is absolutely the way to go. So what they need is what we should be willing to offer for their security, safety, and defense.
The Ukraine support has been an issue of contention among Republicans over the last at least year. Where do you stand on the position of the United States vis-a-vis funding or material support for Ukraine in their war against or in their response to the war of aggression by Russia?
Yeah, another great question. And it was good to see the F-16s that arrived and the resources. I think initially there were some nuance with support to make sure that the resources, the money got to where it needed to go. And I think we're there now. And I think another thing to pay attention to is, while it has been contentious, we absolutely have to have a presence of engagement around the world. President Putin needs to be put back in his box. And that's the way we can do it, by supporting them. I know, speaking with folks that are in the Eastern European nations, ask folks from Poland, from Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, they fear for the fact what has been demonstrated in Ukraine, they fear may happen to them. And that can't happen. We can't let that happen. So to let Russia know that the U.S. is going to continue to support Ukraine, make sure that the resources, dollars, support gets to their warfighters so that they're able to push back and maintain some stability and hopefully bring that conflict to a close, that'll let the other nations know that they're being looked out for as well.
Last question on issues is, obviously, with the decision by the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade, there's been a national conversation about whether we should have a national abortion amendment. President Trump has moved the, you know, GOP platform away from that position. But what's your thought? Should we have a national amendment on abortion rights?
No, I think it's good that the states have had a say, certainly here in Florida. We have an amendment coming up on the ballot. I will be voting no to Amendment 4 to prevent late-stage abortions. And with the six-week ban right now, hoping that will stand. And leaving the decision to the states, I think, is absolutely the way to go, so that the voters have their voice.
So that's kind of the issues part. There's been a lot of other sort of questions or allegations around your campaign, and I want to give you a chance to address them. The first one is, you know, you lived in Missouri until very recently. Do you now reside in Northwest Florida, and when did you move here?
Oh, absolutely. September, when I actually took on a position at the University of West Florida. So My family and I, my wife, Kim, we've been married for over 28 years now. We first moved to our district, in 1996 after I graduated from the academy. Kim and I got married, and Pensacola was our first duty station. And for that 20-year military career as a Naval officer and Navy pilot, as you have mentioned, and the Navy sent me all over our country, all over the world. Usually wasn't anywhere glamorous. And yeah, we've been here for quite some time, in and out, domestically and abroad. And I'm glad our Congressman Gates, as a career politician, he's never had to deploy to the Middle East. And he's attacked me on this, but I think that tens of thousands of service members and military families who are constituents in our district, they understand that, like them, I made sacrifices for our country that temporarily took me away from Florida. And when our congressman says, I'm not from Florida, and accuses me of other things, he's also saying, you know, pretty much for all the tens of thousands of active duty service members, veterans, and their families who first came to Northwest Florida by way of the military aren't real Floridians. And he continues to attack me on that. But my mom lives here. My brother lives here. My aunt and uncle live here. I have so many friends inside and outside the military. We're proud to call Pensacola home, for sure.
Hey, and I'm not from here. I've lived here 10 years now, but I'm not from Florida. But I just want to be clear. I know you got hired by UWF back in September, but when did you actually move and relocate from Missouri to here?
Yeah, so I bounced back and forth and then took up a official residency in May.
May, okay.
And
okay.
To be able to meet the
qualification. That's the next question.
That's correct.
Yeah, and I know there's been, you know, a lot of concern about, allegedly, you continuing to draw pay from Missouri, from the state, even until recently, and that, you know, being paid at UWF and also continuing to draw pay in Missouri, and that, you know, the governor of Missouri, I guess, has asked for an investigation into this. The one question I kind of had about this is, when you got hired at UWF back in September, were you intending then to run for Congress, or did you decide later to run for Congress? And as many people have alleged, and this is why I want to give you the chance, were you recruited by Kevin McCarthy to run for Congress?
Yeah, so I wasn't recruited, and it was a late entry for I didn't come here to run for Congress. I actually came here to work for the Center for Leadership at the University of West Florida, and that was the opportunity. And probably around January, February timeframe, I had started paying more attention just to the vision of elections roster for who was potentially going to run against our current congressman, and no one showed up. So it was actually on Wednesday, April 24th, that I seriously entertained the possibility, since no one else was opting in. And then I ended up just making the decision fully on my own and got over to Tallahassee on the 26th, the filing deadline, to put my name in there. So no, this wasn't a recruiting effort. It wasn't premeditated. It was just me paying attention to the fact that no other Republican was willing to do it. And so I made that decision. I did the filing on the 26th, and then I immediately, actually, to focus on the campaign, resigned from my position at the University of West Florida, so that I could have the focus of effort here.
Yeah, big life upheaval, right? I mean, take a job here, move here, and then what, 8 months later or so, resign that position. And I just know the university has gotten some pushback on this. Just to be clear, they, when they hired you, had no idea, because you even had no idea that you were going to run for this office until April of this year. Is that right?
That's 100%. Yeah, absolutely. Just based on the way things unfolded, you bet.
Very good. Hey, I want to give you the last 30 seconds just to, you know, follow up with people and give them your pitch. This is Aaron Dimmick. Why should people vote for you in the primary coming up on the 20th?
Yeah, and thanks again so much, Andrew. They should vote for me just because I give them an alternative, quite frankly. The energy around the district, as my wife Kim and I have been around at different events, it's just been exhilarating to give folks that option, and they give us two responses. First and foremost, thanks so much, Aaron, for running, and how can I help? And it's just been awesome to see the momentum build, and we're going to continue to lean into that. I mean, we have 2 weeks from tomorrow that is the August 20th primary, and it's just incredibly exciting from where we started to where I am today. When I show up at events and let them know that I'm running against Congressman Gates, they stand up and they applaud. And that's no joke. And the energy is palpable. And we're going to continue to ride that for the next 2 weeks into August 20th. And so appreciate everyone's consideration. AaronDimmick.org if you want to find out more about us. But just awesome. Thanks so much for reaching out. And great to join you today, Andrew.
Absolutely. Aaron Dimmick, thanks so much for the time. And thanks for running. I believe in democracy, so I believe in choices. We look forward to seeing the results of the election coming up soon. Take care, sir, and talk to you again later.
Same here. Thanks, Andrew. Bye-bye.